Ephesians 3. We'll just lift a couple of verses or three as our opening text. Ephesians 3, verse 13. Paul writes, "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Will you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, we do bow our heads and we thank you for your grace and for your goodness, for your kindness, for your compassion, for your mercy, and for your love. We thank you, Father, for who you are, all that you do, all that you have given. But we thank you for him, he who loved us and gave himself for us. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our beloved Savior. And we thank you for him, for his doing and his dying, for his precious blood that he shed. We thank you, Father, that we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We thank you, Lord, that we have the honor and the privilege to come into your presence this morning and to gather around this table to sing the songs of Zion, to worship you, to praise you through and in your Son. And we thank you, Father, that we are here who have been to Calvary and repented of our sins. We are here as children of God. Lord, we thank you for this family of God, for their prayers and for the people. And Lord, we thank you for their care and their, Lord, all that they endeavored to do to try and help us by the way. But now we pray, Father, that you would shut us in with thyself. Bless the children and their children's church and the leaders and the teachers for the creche, Father, and those who will be looking after creche and every baby that goes down there, Father, we pray you would bless each and every one of them. And now, Father, to that end, glorify your Son in the Word. Build us up upon our most holy faith. And Father, be exalted in all that is done. May Christ alone be seen, for it's in his name we come to you and ask it. Amen. Paul is writing this epistle from prison. We want to look this morning at different prisons which Paul was in. Paul had been in different prisons in his ministry. And I want to look at what happened in those, just as we go through these. What was the benefit of Paul being in prison? Now, I'm not saying that you're to go out there and get yourself in prison to test this out. But there may come a time, there will come a time, when Christians will be thrown into prison. It's already happening. When your faith will be tried and you may have to take your stand. But it's the ministry of prison. Also, prison can be where you are in your mind. Prison can be where you are in your heart. Prison can be where you are in general. You can be feel locked in a prison as such. You can feel the prison you're in, you're dumbed by it. You can feel a prison of mourning, a prison of sickness, a prison of discouragement, a prison of hurt, a prison of doubt. We've all got a certain sort of a prison, if you want. How do we, as believers in Christ, how do we act? How do we react? What do we do in various types of prison? I'm going to show you Paul's prison ministry. I'm doing this for our edification. I read through it during the week as I left the hospital and came up, and we didn't know what way things were going and this was going on, and I got this thought. So Alison had thrown me out of my study downstairs recently to bring Jodie and the babies home. When the babies won't get home to September now, they say, but Jody will be at our house, but she can't climb up the stairs. So guess who's coming home to my study? And it's like a girl's pinkified room for them all coming. And there's a bed on it and everything done up. And I was put upstairs to Jody's old bedroom. It's a nicer room, but at the same time, it's up the stairs. Anyway, I was up and I was sitting praying continually, like a prison in my head. Morning, noon, and night. Alice and I knows the same. She's lived there. She's been, but a prisoner. I woke up this morning, staring at the ceiling. I thought, And I looked around and Granny was awake as well. And I turned to her and I said, can't get them out of my head every day. It's like a prison. Can't get them out of my head. So you just pray. What do you do in these prison type situations? I wrote this the other day. I can't even remember what day it was. I was at the hospital and I said, look, I need to get up and get something done for Sunday, and I know Pastor Glenn has offered for me. I need to keep steer on the ship for me with the Lord. I need to be here. I don't understand when people aren't in the place where they need to be. I personally need to be here. I need to keep strong. I need to be looking. I need to be directing. I need to be trying to guide the church here, this fellowship. And Pastor Glenn and Andrew have been amazing. Jeff, when he was here, but there's a group of them away on holidays there, but he also, when he was here, have been amazing. But it's nothing to do with them. It's me. I've just been taught by Pastor McConnell, even if your legs drop off, son, climb into your pulpit. Climb into your pulpit. I could have taken it easy today, couldn't I? Believe me, sometimes during the week I felt like it's just so tired. And this isn't a boo-hoo, give me sympathy. I'm making a point here. To be in your place, even no matter what it's costing you, get into that place with God. Paul's writing from prison. I've had this prison of a mindset nearly, and I'm praying all the time. Last night, we were up to whatever time, we were up at the hospital, and I left the room and went for a walk. It's the Royal Victoria Hospital, and I walked from the Grosvenor Road through to the other end, up to the falls, and then back down the other end, done laps around the prison. The prison, no. Jody thinks it's a prison. She keeps saying, Daddy, am I ready to go home yet? And I go, no, not yet, love. Around the hospital, praying. Just around the hospital, praying. Round and round. Going, Lord, help me to get out of this prison mindset. You know, God sets you free from your prison. Paul's writing this epistle from a Roman prison. And Paul had a great opportunity, you see, to preach to a great crowd the gospel. This crowd was at Jerusalem near the Temple Mount, possibly even on the Temple Mount is where he preached from. And it was a very strategic time. And he was arrested and he was eventually put in prison. Acts chapter 21 verse 39, the Acts chapter 22 verse 22, it rehearses Paul preaching, it says, in the Hebrew tongue. Now take note of this. This all seemingly ends in disaster for Paul. When Paul preaches the Lord Jesus as Messiah unto the Jews, and that his commission and calling is now turning to the Gentiles, or the word should be nations there, and has caused an almighty uproar among the Jews, and hence there's a riot breaks out, and they seize him to put him into prison. This puts Paul in a dilemma. And so Paul used his right as a Roman citizen to cry out unto Caesar, and now Paul finds himself in Rome, in prison. And now he's writing his epistles. Ephesians is one of those epistles he writes from prison. Many of us would have put the pen down, wouldn't we? Here he writes, wherefore, chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 13, I desire that you faint not. He's thinking of the believers at Ephesus, but he's thinking of you this morning. Wherefore, he says, I desire that you faint not. You know, the Lord Jesus even rehearsed it, to smite the shepherd and the sheep would be scattered. And here's Paul in prison. And Paul's saying, listen, I may be in prison for preaching the word. I may be in prison because of the hatred for the gospel. He says, but don't you faint, church. Don't you give up. Don't let this put you off. Don't let this make you weak. What if I step out for God and something happens? What if I trust the Lord and I go to do something in ministry for him or to help out? What if I do it and I'm attacked by the evil one? Brothers and sisters, I'd rather be in ministry attacked by the devil, knowing Christ is in my at my side, than being on my own and doing nothing. And Paul, here he's writing this. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, he's saying. He's trying to shepherd them from prison, which is your glory. So Paul in prison here, he pens no less than four epistles during this imprisonment. Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and the little letter of Philemon. Or if my American, or when my American friends are listening, Philemon, as they call him. There's the four he writes at this point as he is in prison. So here's what we have to take note of, first of all, and we'll look at other prison ministry of Paul. Paul's prison became Paul's pulpit. Paul's prison became Paul's pulpit. We want you to see that in your life, whatever your prison you're finding yourself in at times, make your prison your pulpit. Show, tell, manifest the Lord in you. The Lord in you. Will you turn with me to Acts chapter 16, please? Acts chapter 16. Just to skip across this for a point or two here. Notice what it says in verse 5. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So the Holy Ghost says, you're not going east, Paul, you're going west. You're going after the lost sheep. But take note of this. Verse 7. After they were come to Messiah, they are said to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Messiah, came down to Troas. And then a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Notice here, Paul wanted to go east. The Holy Ghost said, no, you're going west. But not only after the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but he's going into to the nations, but he's going to this to pick up Dr. Luke. Can you see him in the middle of that anywhere, that portion of reading? Let me show you here. Because here is the Lord ahead of us before we even go into prison. That is, whatever our state is, whatever our place is, whatever our position is. Now, God's already ahead of us. Notice what it says, and I have to just skip across these. Verse 6, now when they had gone through Phrygia into the region of Galatia, that's a region around sort of the Turkey area where the seven churches in Revelation were. Believe it or not, that area of Galatia is where you get the word Gaul from France. You know, Asterix the Gaul you would have heard of and so on. They were actually Celtic people. They're Celts, the Irish, the Scottish. The Celtic people come across from there. Now take note of this, if you will. In Galatia, and we're forbidden of the Holy Ghost. Notice, so verse 6, when they, verse 7, after they were come, notice, and then it says in verse 8, and they passing through in verse 8. Now notice in verse 9, Paul has a call from Macedonia. It was a Macedonian call, and prayed him saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, notice how it changes here. Immediately we endeavored. The writer's saying immediately we endeavored. So Dr. Luke is writing the book of Acts. And he's saying here, first of all, they went here, they went there, they came here, and we then left from here. So there's Dr. Luke. If the Holy Ghost hadn't sent them west, we may not have had the book of Acts or the book of the Holy Ghost through the apostles. God's way ahead of us. Is everybody with me? Verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us. Now here they meet with Lydia at a place where prayer was wont to be made. Now I see Thyatira, it means ruled by a woman. And you'll find this church that Jesus then speaks against latter years of this, the church where we have it ruled by a woman, Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. That prophetically is the church of Rome. Now take note of this. Stay with me. Let your eye run down verse 16. And it came to pass as we went up to pray, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And the same followed Paul and us, crying, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. So now this woman with the spirit of divination, this woman had a demon spirit. But sure, they're proclaiming that these are men of God. But you realize that not everyone who speaks out to proclaim is actually of God. And Paul casts the spirit of divination out of this woman. And hence, they're angry. The people are angry at Paul and Silas, and they cast them into prison. Listen, folks, sometimes we don't know why the Lord leads us a certain way, why God hasn't let them go east to go west. We've looked at that with Dr. Luke. But God has done that even. The great missionary David Livingstone wanted to go to China. God sent him to Africa. Sometimes our hearts want something, we think it's the right thing to do, but God sends us some other way, and we don't know why. William Carey wanted to go to Polynesia. God sent him to India. I used to pray all the time. I've told you, Lord, this is years ago. I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere. I'll lay everything down. I'll go. I'll do, Lord. I'll do it now. I'll just you say, Lord, and I'll go. And one day says, give everything you have away. Everything you have away. Don't sell it. Give it away. And go to Romania. Lord, I'll go anywhere but there. Don't send me there. I'd already been there. And then I says, Lord, will you tell Allison before I get home? And you know what? I got home, and he did. He had. Sometimes you're sent somewhere that you don't. Sometimes you're sent into a situation that you don't think. that this is what it was meant to be. I was praying about this, but it wasn't meant to be like this. But do you not know that in all things, Romans 8:28 tells us that God works together for the good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. God will work out good even out of the worst of situations. Don't ask me how he does it, but I know he does. This woman of a spirit of divination, it says she was a certain damsel, but it really means that she was a slave girl, enslaved by the devil, enslaved by this satanic religion, and she was enslaved by men. But you see, God sent Paul west, and he met this woman, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, set her free. Set her free. Let's just go. Paul is arrested, and we all know this. At midnight, verse 25, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. This is Paul's prison ministry now. They prayed and they sang praises to God. Notice, here's their ministry. And all the prisoners heard them. Men and women, you and I are reading the New Testament here because it's been written for us. But in Paul's day, it wasn't written, it was happening. These men hadn't heard of salvation in Christ alone. These people didn't know about a Savior called the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't know about his cross work, his precious blood, justification by faith in Christ alone. They knew none of this. And what was Paul's prison ministry? See, they beat them. They're all bloodied and beaten and bruised, and they're in stocks. Paul and Silas are sitting there, probably blood caked to them, hair, whatever, in a state and a mess. And I think most of us would go, oh, this is terrible. Oh, who's going to get us? How are we going to get out of this? Paul, how are we going to get out of this? Silas. No, they said, let's start to pray. Let's pray. Eh? Silas, let's have a prayer meeting. Come on. Let's pray. And then they start to sing in agonies. Their ministry was what? To pray and to sing, and the prisoners heard what they were singing. They're hearing the gospel. They're hearing two men who, although in positionally they are in agony and they'd love to be out of there, really, they're still praising. It's difficult, isn't it, to praise and pray when your heart's in your boots. Do you know Peter just cried when he was sinking in the water in the sea that time? A simple, quick prayer. Lord, save me. Save me. Can you imagine Peter? Lord, we come unto you this night in your own precious and worthy name to thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us, for you are worthy of the praise alone, the glory and the honor, Lord. And I come to you and I ask you sincerely, being justified by faith through Christ alone, you'll be at the bottom of the sea. It's the heart. Lord, save me! Glory to God, he reached down and grabs him, lifts him up and puts him into the boat. Your prayers don't need to be fancy, you know, even in a time when you're in a prison. In your mind, I can't cope with this. Lord, help us. Help us. would have caught myself doing in the shower this morning. I was getting dried, drying my hair. I was talking out loud to the Lord, and it wasn't even dawning on me I was doing it. I was like, Lord, we need you. Lord, we need you. Lord, we need your help. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then I realized I was actually praising the Lord and praying for my hair. I had no idea. Because all week it's been lifting our hearts to God. All week it's been just asking the Lord. And yes, it's been hard. And yes, it's been even doubtful. And you have to get rid of the thoughts. Renewing your mind. So Paul's prison ministry was praise, and then a miracle happened when they sang. The prison began to shake. Their fetters fell off, and the Lord set them free. A man was saved. The one who bound them up is the one whom they led to Christ. I have to move quickly, for there's just too much of this. Paul's second prison ministry, we'll not turn to it just for time's sake. Paul's second prison ministry is going back to where we were at the start, where he's in prison in Rome for appealing to Caesar after the raid in Jerusalem. The second prison ministry you'll read it in Acts chapters 23 to 26. He's in Caesarea Maritima, and he's there for 2 years, but he's permitted to receive visitors, and it was from here that Paul appealed to Caesar, which took him to his imprisonment in Rome. Paul's prison ministry saw him witness, listen, and testify to Felix and to Festus, the governors, and to testify to King Agrippa, among others. That was his ministry. The first one, singing, praising, praying, and leading people to Christ. The next one, he's witnessing to the godless, old Agrippa, the Edomite. We looked at those men a few weeks ago. We'll not go into them. And here Paul is, his prison ministry is, I'm going to try and reach these people, but to none avail. And you might say, what another disaster that is. No, listen. Our calling, I would say our job, but excuse the word, our calling is to sow. Our calling is to outreach, to reach out. Our calling is to witness, to testify. Our calling is to read the word to people, teach the word to people, show the word to people, preach the word to people. We're called to sow the seed and to pray about it. But it's up to God to save. And Paul in a prison here, he's testifying to these powerful men. If Paul had never been what seemed to be a real disaster in Jerusalem, if Paul had never been arrested and taken to this prison, Paul would never have been able to witness to the glory of God. Now take note of this. If Paul had never have picked up Dr. Luke, as we read in Acts 16, we wouldn't have maybe not had the book of Acts. We wouldn't have known of these things. We wouldn't have known of the move of the Holy Spirit. We wouldn't have known of the baptisms that happened in the Spirit and in water. We wouldn't have known of the salvation that came to a lot of people. And we certainly wouldn't have known of the things that happened not only to Paul, but also to Peter and to others. So Paul's prison ministry was to witness here. Thirdly, Paul's third prison ministry is in Acts 28. This is around 60 AD or so. Paul was at first under house arrest in Rome. See, he was in Rome, and then they released him for a while and brought him back again. And the first time it was a house arrest. This is the second time then. Notice this. In this time he wrote, it's at this time, pardon me, he wrote the four epistles that we had mentioned. Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon. Paul's prison ministry was that, you ready? He was now purposefully set aside. First time in Rome, he was in house arrest. He received visitors. This time, he was in a dark, damp dungeon prison cell. Sometimes our lives are so like that, aren't they? Can seem like that. I'd say there'd be little to no light getting in. Paul was, was high security. Paul was in the center hole of the prison. And Paul's prison ministry was purposely that he was set aside. Notice, he was set aside in the sovereign will of God. Oh, don't be telling me this. Don't be telling me this. Sometimes we can be set aside in the sovereign will of God. Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no Puritan called Samuel Rutherford. And he says about these things, you know what he says? He says, when I am in the cellar of affliction, I look for the Lord's choicest wines. Sometimes we're in the prison or the cellar of affliction, and metaphorically, we look for those Lord's choicest wines. What is the Scriptures telling us? What is that wine of the Word? What is the Scripture saying to me to help me through this? Paul was set aside, and this become, if you want, a vestibule of heaven in a prison. How can somewhere where I find myself be like a vestibule? Well, let me put it like this. See, when I was a wee boy, growing up as well, into my teens as well, we lived in a house, little terrace house in North Belfast, Shore Road, and that's the front garden wall was there. I don't know why they bothered. Front garden wall was there, and the front window was here. And that's the street. You just wrap the window from the street. We were posh because some places didn't have a wall. We had one about this height. But when you wrap the front door, there's a wee tiled area about this. Front door, and then a glass door, and then the hallway, a long hallway. And if my mates came, and a lot of times we were getting up to no good, and if they come in, we used to get him behind this door or else pull this glass door behind us so as my mum and dad wouldn't know what we were getting up to. We used to whisper. You call that door the vestibule door. And if we even left it open sometimes, we were talking and my dad could hear, somebody'd shout to me, Caliph, close the vestibule door. And that was the glass door. You're in this wee block together, communing. The cellar of affliction, this prison with Paul, became a vestibule to heaven. He started to write the epistle of the Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, Philemon. In this little place, Paul's prison ministry was he was set aside to write for you and I this morning in the body of Christ. If he hadn't have been there, maybe we wouldn't have had this. Epistles, these epistles as well. Imagine if he wasn't sent west, maybe we wouldn't have picked up Dr. Luke. Maybe we wouldn't have had the book of Acts. And if he wasn't also sent to Rome, we wouldn't have had some of these letters to be guided by. And in Paul's prison ministry, we find here that Paul writes in Ephesians, let's finish with, oh boy, time's gone. I'll close with this. I have too much material here. I'll close with this. In the book of Ephesians, Paul writes of the will of God in our election. We wouldn't have known this. Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 1 shows that he's in the will of God. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus. Paul's saying, I'm an apostle by the will of God, and hence I'm apostle, and I'm prisoned by the will of God. He believes in this full sovereignty of God. And we can believe in the sovereignty of God when it's good and it suits us. But believe in the sovereignty of God when, well, it's tough. That's another thing coming here. Look at what he says in verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. He writes in the will of God of our election. He writes in the will of God then in verse 5 of our predestination, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Of his will. Do you know what Paul's writing here? I'm in prison, but I'm still in the will of God. I still belong to God. I'm still loved by God. Because people say, oh, if there's something wrong in your life, maybe God doesn't love you anymore. Christian, let me disabuse you of that. He loves you in every prison and throughout every trial. And he loves you throughout every failure too. Paul says, I'm here, but it's his will. Got to close with too much material here, but in verse 7 he writes of the will of God and the redemption of his people. And in chapter 2 verses 1 to 5 he writes of the will of God and the regeneration of his people as well. Paul's prison ministry in Rome the second time, this time Paul's conditions, as he said, are severe. And he writes 2 Timothy. He writes to Timothy for the second time before he dies. 2 Timothy 2:9, he says, wherefore I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God, notice, is not bound. Glory to God. I may be in prison and I'm going to die, but the word of God isn't bound. You know how we know it? Because we're living it today. We're reading it today. We're hearing it today. He says to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, be not thou therefore ashamed of me, ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. And be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Don't hear that many times. No, will you let the children know to come up, please? I'm running over time. Don't hear that today. You know, the health, wealth, prosperity, bless me, myself, I, and it's all about me. He says, the afflictions of the gospel. The affliction of the gospel. No man, once I was down in an early morning, 5 o'clock morning, early morning prayer meeting one time. We're coming out in old Alley Cull. He's an old boy in his 80s now, he's just in my 30s, and he came to me and he says, yeah, Ken, what's wrong with your son? I was down. I was just going through a bit of a time. And I says, ah, golly, I'm just getting it tough. I says, the enemy's attacked me. And he just went, I thought he was going to give me words of wisdom and put his arm around me. He went, good. Good. And I went, what? My heart went lower. I went, what? He says, good. And he comes up and he says, listen, son, if you're not in the fight, you're not in the faith. And he just walked away. It picked me up. I'd rather be fighting in the faith. I'd rather be in prison with Christ than running in public without him. Paul's prison ministry, he says to Timothy, I'm going to be leaving. My departure is at hand. He says, keep going, Timothy. I'll pass the baton to you, son. Expect trouble, but always remember, we serve a living, wonderful Savior. He's always on the throne. God bless his word to us this morning.